Buccaneers fans, happy Monday. The Ira Kaufman podcast is back, baby. We didn't really disappear, but we sort of did. But we are making it all up this week. Four episodes this week with a sage of Tampa Bay sports presented by Bill Curry Ford, Tampa Bay's very first family of Ford. I'm Steve Isbitz, I'm Joe Bucks fan. The great sage is here, the Baron of Big Storm Beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford himself, the king of Pasco County, the custodian of Canton. Ira, you know that I've got a hard topic to discuss with you today, something I have not yet put on the website at Joe Bucks Fan because I wanted your take first, but it's good that you're back, sage. I want to make sure everybody knows that you've been in great health all this time.
Steve, I'm still suffering withdrawal symptoms from missing our two podcasts last week. Correct me if I'm wrong, Steve. It might be the first time in 4.5 years that I've joined this august company that we have failed to post two podcasts in a week. Steve, is that possible?
It is the first time. And you know what, Sage, to our many, many thousands of listeners, probably a handful of them care. So I'll give a quick summary of what happened. We were set to record two podcasts Thursday morning, and I had an equipment failure, and I figured, okay, you know, we've got three different schedules. I'm just going to pick up this piece of equipment and we'll bang it out on Friday. Well, I looked around, Ira, and I found out, okay, I found this little piece of equipment. It's an hour and a half drive. So, well, instead of going 3 hours, I'll just pay the extra $15. They're going to send it to me FedEx overnight and I'll have it Friday morning. Well, you know, FedEx, the carriers, they don't always do what they're supposed to do. So here we are getting it back. It's my fault. And Sage, I let you down. But again, we're making it up and we got a lot of good stuff. And there's been a lot of good Bucks news flowing, Sage. A lot of good stuff.
How are we supposed to fill four podcasts in a week over there? There's nothing going on. You got the draft. You got free agency. Well, what else you got, Steve? You got Brady throwing the Vince Lombardi trophy. Somebody's getting mad because her father made up the trophy. I mean, you can't make this stuff up, Steve.
Well, I know you're teasing everybody. We got a lot to talk about. It's been a lot of really interesting stuff, Sage. First, I want to remind everybody, Bill Curry Ford presents the podcast, and Bill Curry Ford is a Tampa tradition, more than 60 years, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium. Sage, general manager Sean Sullivan, the GM, he loves for us to tell people, but it's not a joke. I just want to make it serious to everyone. He's ready to help you. He's your friend in the car business, in the truck business. Email him, call him, go in. He's there Monday through Saturday. And of course, they're open on Sunday. BillCurryFord.com. You can start shopping. You can get Sean's email there. And he's ready to help every Bucks fan all the time, Ira.
Steve, I want to reassure all our listeners because last time we mentioned Sean Sullivan, Steve, we recounted that story of, DeKemper and I sitting in the press box during the Super Bowl. And Sean Sullivan texting DeKemper saying, I can't breathe. I can't breathe. It was 5 minutes before kickoff. Well, Steve, I was passing by Bill Curry Ford a mile north of the stadium on the east side of Dale Mabry last week, and I stopped in unannounced just to see Sean Sullivan, and I am here to report to Buck Nation. He is breathing, Steve. As a matter of fact, he's breathing free and easy. And, Steve, I just wrote a column today. I think it's going to be posted tomorrow. It's hard to write this, Steve, with a straight face, but the opportunity is out there for the Bucks to run this table 2, 3, 4 years, as long as Brady doesn't go anywhere. And it's kind of scary to say that, Steve. I mean, nobody's repeated since the 04 Patriots. I don't want to get away from ourselves. There's a reason why it's so hard to repeat. But, Steve, as you will see tomorrow, this team is poised to cause a lot of trouble in the NFL. And we'll have plenty of time to discuss it the whole offseason.
Well, I'm looking forward to reading that, Ira. And it is a little scary to hear you say 3, 4 years. Now, repeating as champions, that's not scary. I think every Bucks fan is damn fired up to do it again. 3, 4 years for any team, I don't know. But I'm going to read your column. Everyone should, too. Subscribe to the podcast at Apple Podcasts, Podbean, Google Podcasts. You get a free alert, and so you know when the new episode posts. Right in the app, or you can just listen on the website like so many do. And again, it's all thanks to Bill Curry Ford, including Iris Columns, BillCurryFord.com. Start shopping. Tell Sean Sullivan you want to get out of your lease, you want to get into a new one, whatever it is. Take advantage of their lifetime warranty nationwide on used and new vehicles, BillCurryFord.com. All right, Ira, look, this is what's been in my craw, and I can't wait to run this past you. Now, Bruce Arians, aside from the many, many interviews he did leading up to the Super Bowl and after, he did another round because he had an online charity event on Friday night. So he's been everywhere, literally. And buried in one of his little interviews, he was asked about a head coach in waiting. Byron Leftwich or Todd Bowles, is that a situation that he hopes will happen? And Arians says this, quote, "I really hope it is. That would let me come back and be a part of this for a long, long time." Now, Ira, I heard that. I was like, whoa. Arians would love to hand this thing off and still stick around, either as some sort of offensive advisor or consultant. Maybe he comes out to practice a couple times a week during the season and, coaches up whatever he can do for his next coach, or he stays on in a real capacity as an advisor. I thought that was fascinating, and it's got to make Team Glazer really think long and hard about the whole Arians involvement in the organization, which the way Arians is putting it out there, he'd love to stick around as long as they would have him.
I'm so confused, Steve. You got to help me, Steve. First of all, as long as Tom Brady wants to play and as long as Tom Brady's healthy, well, why the hell wouldn't Bruce Arians want to be the head coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? I mean, I don't get that. And it also seems to me that Brady wants to play maybe till he gets 10 Super Bowl rings. Well, guess what? That's at least three more seasons and probably more. And I don't put anything past number 12 at this point. Can you? So you get the chance to coach Tom Brady and a real good roster. They got a good thing going in Tampa Bay right now. Everybody knows that. And it looks like, Arians got one foot out the door. The other part, Steve, not so fast with Leftwich and Bowles. Not so fast. Steve, we know one thing for sure. The Glazers are the ones that make the pick. It ain't going to be Jason Light. It's going to be the Glazers. That's where they butt in, if you want to call it butt in, picking the head coach. For them, that's the guy. That's the guy who speaks one voice in the organization. They don't talk. And so they leave it up to the head coach, and they make a big investment on the head coach. They're willing to pay the guy big money. They're willing to fire a guy with 3 years left. It's that important to them to have the right guy in charge. If they make a mistake, they go on to the next one and don't blink an eye. So, Steve, as much as Bruce Arians wants to handpick his successor when he does step down, I don't think there's any assurances whatsoever in that regard that he's going to be able to keep it in-house. The Glazers could very well want to go outside the organization at that point. We don't know the quarterback situation at that point. And they may not be as high on Leftwich and Bowles as Arians is. I mean, there's no guarantees here. So it's very strange, maybe disconcerting, to hear a coach talk so much about moving on to the next phase of his football life. By the way, if you want to be a consultant, you're going to have to elbow Tom Moore out of the way. He's an offensive consultant. You want two of them? So it strikes me that Arians, he never misses a radio opportunity. I've been told by people in the organization, Ira, you don't know that. He turns down things left and right. He can be on the radio a lot more than he is. Steve, you've quoted him on about 158 different radio shows. And there's more to come during this offseason. So my advice to Bruce Arians, enjoy the ride with Brady. It's a great ride. And stay on it.
Well, Sage, don't get off it. Sage, listen to this, though. He says on another interview, and I think he turns down his fair share. I really do. But, he's been eager to do them at various times. And of course, he's in demand. I mean, who you want to talk to? You want to talk to pick a boring name out there. There's a lot of them. But right. Sage, one thing he said was, if I lost Byron or Todd, I'd have to think about quitting because not losing any coaches this year makes 2021 so much easier and so much easier to repeat. But he says, but once you start deleting your coaching staff, I don't want to go back to calling plays. And Byron right now is still the only guy I trust doing it. And that's kind of interesting, Ira. And this is where I wanted to dive a little deeper than usual with you, because if Leftwich is the only guy he trusts calling plays, which, between Clyde Christensen and Harold Goodwin and Tom Moore. It's a big statement, and I believe it from some other stuff we're going to touch on. But if that's the case, then I really think it's time for the Glazers to not screw this up and to start meeting with Leftwich this offseason. Start meeting with Bowles this offseason. Take them out to dinner in April. Get to know these guys to decide if you really even want to have them be a head coach in waiting, because that's how the communication's going to be clear. I think the Glazers really need to know if they want either one of these guys essentially before the season starts. Now, if they screw up in the season, yeah, sure, you're not obligated to anything, but they should know what they want, and they should be including Tom Brady in the mix, because I just feel, Ira, like there's some sort of looming disaster where all of a sudden, and you've been down this road before with the Chucky regime, all of a sudden some team fires its coach 6 games into the season. They interview Leftwich early, and he seems to be their coach in waiting. And all of a sudden, Brady's not sure if he wants to come back. Arians is like, I don't know if I want, I'm not calling plays next year. And the whole thing gets distracted out the door. I would much prefer they sort of get on this early. Am I wrong here?
No, you're making a fair point in terms of a comfort level with Bowles or Leftwich in terms of the succession. But, Steve, I look at it this way. Suppose Bowles does get hired by a team for the 22 season. The sky is not falling, Steve. If I'm Arians and I still got Brady and I still got Bowles, I'm not going anywhere. And I'm going to find somebody, and I think they'll be falling off the trees, Steve, at that point, to want to join the Buccaneers as the play caller. Arians knows everybody in football. Then you can't tell me that Byron Leftwich is the only guy in the world that can handle Tom Brady and call plays for Tom Brady in this offense with these weapons for Bruce Arians. There'll be another Byron Leftwich down the road, Steve. So I think it's an overreaction. It's a little bit of a hyperbole on Arians' part. But, Steve, it all goes back to one thing. He wants these guys to get jobs. He wants them to get jobs. And I think he's willing to almost say anything at this point for the next round of candidates. You know, there's going to be 6 openings next year. There always are. And he wants his guys to get elevated. And I think that's a tribute to Arians. And then he's trying to say that, well, I don't know if I want to coach at that point if I lose any of these guys. Believe me, if the Bucs are as successful, Steve, as you and I think they are, they're heavily favored to win the division next year. And they're co-favorites to represent the NFC South, Steve, in L.A. in the Super Bowl for a reason. They got a damn good team. And, you know, I think that Arians is trying his best, and he's going above and beyond to try to get these two guys jobs. But as far as, you know, if I lose one, I'm hanging it up. I'm not buying it, Steve.
All right, Sage, interesting. You are not buying it. I still have more to dive in here, Ira. There's more evidence to explore. We're just getting through the discovery process, Ira. Florida's Elite Restoration, Sage, you know the deal. That's your first phone call. If you find mold in your house anywhere, or if your family finds mold, you tell them, call Florida's Elite Restoration 24/7. They are going to come out and give you an absolutely free assessment of what's happening in your home, and that's what you need. Honest, friendly, precise, well-trained professionals to come out and tell you what the hell's really happening before you call your insurance company and get ripped off by an adjuster and you can't trust what's happening. Maybe they can fix it. Maybe it's a big disaster that needs them to work with your insurance company. You got to make that call. It could be water, fire, wind, mold, whatever it is. Florida's Elite Restoration. You know the number, Ira. I know it's on your fridge.
Steve, I was talking to my cousin, lives in Galveston, Texas, and I was asking him about what the last week was like for him. He didn't lose his power, Steve, but one of his pipes burst from the freezing temperature. It got down to 16 degrees in Galveston at some point last week, and that's, you know, that's a once out of a 40-year occurrence. And his pipe burst, and it flooded the laundry room, and he was scrambling to find somebody to call. And I almost felt like saying, well, I got a guy up here. I don't think he'll travel to Galveston, Steve, but maybe they can open a branch in Texas. But these things happen all the time, Steve. Flooding in the house, the pipes burst. You don't even realize it, Steve, for a couple of weeks. And then you got a mold problem. And Florida's Elite Restoration, they can come in and give you a real accurate assessment of what's going on. It's probably something minor. And if it is, they'll tell you. But Florida's Elite Restoration, Steve, they get the job done.
FloridasElitereStoration.com, FloridasElitereStoration.com. Check it out. Keep it in mind when that happens. You need someone you can trust. Sage, Tom Moore, do you trust Tom Moore, or do you think he's a blowhard?
No, I think Tom Moore believes everything that he says in my experience with him.
All right. Well, then I'll throw this to you as Exhibit C. Tom Moore says, I've been around a long time. Byron left, which is absolutely fantastic. He's a great presenter of game plans. He has a great rapport with people, great rapport with Brady. And in my personal opinion, Bruce has done a fantastic job of training Byron to be a head coach. He trained him to be a coordinator, and Bruce lets him go. And it was a big deal, Tom Moore said, that Arians was really willing to give up play calling and that he had all that trust in Byron. And Tom Moore says, as far as Leftwich being a head coach, and he says that he has told people this, that Leftwich just had a four-week interview with four playoff games, and if you don't like that, then he doesn't know what you're looking at. What do you think of that?
I think there's a point to be made there. I mean, we have been a little bit skeptical of Byron Leftwich on this podcast, mostly because we know that Arians' whole history is on the offensive side of the ball, and when the defense plays great, which they did for throughout the eight-game winning streak, with rare exception, Bowles is going to get all the credit because Bruce Arians isn't telling Todd Bowles whether to play man or zone defense and how many guys to blitz. So we all realize that. So, you know, it's a different dynamic on the offensive side of the ball when you got a Bruce Arians as the head coach. And some people, I don't believe this, but some people have painted Byron Leftwich, you know, as a figurehead. Steve, I don't believe it. What I do believe is down the stretch, the offense was outstanding. I mean, outstanding. Week after week, week after week. And, you know, Leftwich has to get some credit. I mean, you got to give the guy something. Obviously, he made Brady feel comfortable. And Arians, you know, took a hell of a gamble. He's got Tom Brady, and he's not going to call the plays, Arians. He's going to entrust this to Byron Leftwich. I mean, that's a little bit of a gamble. You could piss off Brady. He may not respect Leftwich. Then you got a real problem on your hands. A lot of people think that was the case when the Bucs were 7-5. I think that story was overblown about some kind of a disconnect between Brady and the coaching staff. I never really believed that. But the facts are the facts, Steve. You're a fact guy. And the fact is, I believe 7 out of the last 8 games, Steve, they scored 30 points or more. Am I correct? And, you know, that's a testament to the whole offensive staff. Whether you want to say, well, all they did was, you know, put Brady upright and let him run the offense. I think that's a little simplistic. The fact is, they kept Brady happy. And in this current situation, that's about 3/4 of the battle. So I'm not gonna diminish Byron Leftwich. I'm not giving him all the credit for this offense because Brady's got a big, big input. Everybody knows that. But give Leftwich his due, Steve. Down the stretch, they were a very efficient offense.
A couple of things to note. You know, Lee had mentioned a couple of times on the podcast Michael Lombardi, who a lot of fans may not realize he was after he left the Browns and he had gotten into media. After that, he was rehired by Bill Belichick to be an advisor just to Belichick. So, I mean, that's the level that he's inside and the respect that he commands from the Patriots. But Lombardi's back in media now, and he had talked about publicly that Leftwich is just a figurehead. And given that he's got access to Patriots and Brady, it was interesting. But I don't personally, you know, buy a lot of what Lombardi has to say, but it certainly was interesting. But I found this, I almost felt good about it, Ira, listening to Arizona sports radio the last couple of days. I know you're going to make fun of me for doing this kind of thing, but I was listening to them out there, and they were analyzing some comments that was on a different show from Carson Palmer about Arians, and they were talking in Arizona, where Arians has done many, many interviews over the years, including while he's been with the Bucks. They were talking about how they were under the impression that Bruce was really the guy driving the bus with the offense, and they are late to the party, they admitted, to learning and realizing that, no, it's Leftwich calling the shots and obviously working with Brady and whatnot. But so they were behind the eight ball, too, and it sort of revolved around Carson Palmer saying that Bruce Arians is a much better head coach because he's not calling plays. And this is funny, Ira. Palmer explained that when he was with the Cardinals, it was very frustrating to him because a lot of times Arians wouldn't call the play. They were just standing there waiting to hear him in the microphone, excuse me, in the headset, because he was arguing with officials, and the 17 seconds left on the play clock, they still didn't get the call yet. And he talked about the tremendous stress that Arians would take on, and this have being off his plate just lets him be a head coach.
I think there's a lot to be said for that. You know, originally, I was not thrilled with Arians giving up the play call. I said on this podcast from the Glazers, I'm paying for Bruce Arians. I'm not paying for Byron Leftwich to call plays. But you can't argue with success, Steve. You just can't. And it worked. Steve, what else can you say? It worked. At the end of the day, the Bucks were the best team in the National Football League. And nobody can argue that point. They end with an 8-game winning streak. They trounce the Chiefs. They win 3 road games before they play the Chiefs in the postseason. There's nothing to say. There's nothing to quibble about. There's nothing to talk about with the Chiefs' banged up offensive line. There's nothing to talk about calls that went against the Chiefs. None of that really mattered. If you watch the game, the Bucks were the better team. They were going to hound Mahomes. I don't care if Eric Fisher was in there. They were going to hound him anyway. And they were going to score against the Chiefs. That's just the way it is. The Bucks were the best team in football. It's hard to argue that this dynamic, you know, in terms of the coaching staff, didn't work. It all worked. And, Steve, I think it's a fair point to say that it gave Arians the freedom to poke around as sort of a general counsel and make sure everything was working on both sides of the ball. Not that he's interfering with the X's and O's of the defense, but, you know, he had a little bit more sense of freedom, Steve, than he would normally be if he wasn't chained into the offensive meetings as the play caller. And he sort of set the general tone for this organization, and he did a hell of a job in that regard. This was a very tight team down the stretch. There were no distractions, absolutely zero. A couple of injuries, they overcome it. And next man up. So it all worked out. I don't want to hear any nitpicking from Michael Lombardi or Carson Palmer. It all worked in fabulous fashion. And there's no reason to poke holes in the 2020 Bucks, because guess what? There aren't any, Steve. There aren't any.
No, they knocked it out of the park. I mean, we're all still in ecstasy, Ira. I have a little bit of bad news for you. And I also need to explain why JPP is a little bit annoyed with you, Ira. So you're going to want to hear this for sure. But
wait a minute. That's not a guy that I want on my hit list over there, Stevie. He's a big man. He's a powerful man, and he can toss me around like a rag doll, Steven.
Well, I don't know. You did say you're starting a diet. I don't think anybody's throwing you around like a rag doll these days, Ira.
What about the waiter at the Lucky Dill?
Well, here's the bad news, Ira, because you did let me know that you've started a diet. You're still playing tennis, and you're still the sage, and still schmoozing, and you're out and about now a little bit more. You've got your vaccine almost ready for your second dose. But the bad news is, at Big Storm Brewing Company, the daily special today, Ira, is grilled chicken and bacon melt, smothered in Swiss cheese, crispy house bacon, and topped with pesto ranch on a French baguette with French fries.
So, all right, so I start my diet tomorrow, Steve. There's no problem. I start it tomorrow.
All right. Well, tomorrow it is. Big Storm has locations in Clearwater, 49th Street south of Ulmerton, They've got Odessa right there on Success Drive, Cape Coral. Orlando is opening very soon, and it's Florida's best craft beer. It also, Clearwater, is going to be the home, the site of our outdoor draft party and indoors, 3,000 square foot covered seating. You know how great it is, Ira, there. Indoor seating, it's going to be awesome. Absolutely awesome for this spectacular draft party. And I think we're going to get Lee out there because he'll come for maybe a few hours and then head home. So he's in position when the pick is made. So we've got plenty of time.
Steve, maybe we can get a guest or two. You never know. You're pretty good about coming up with guys. I don't put it past you, Stevie.
Oh, yeah. We're working on a few things already. I've already had some meetings. Very excited. But the draft party is going to be amazing. For those who've been to draft parties before, nothing's going to be quite like this just because it's such a great setup and Florida's best craft beer and the food. Ira, your diet will be over by then, so it's going to be ugly what you consume. Maybe I'll have somebody out there tracking your food intake again.
And Steve, you know, on our past draft parties, which have been very successful and a lot of fun for everyone, we all gather around the TV like about 9 o'clock at night, Steve, because the Bucks, you know, they're usually picking sixth or ninth or something. And this year, it's going to be very different, my friend. Very different.
Yeah, we're looking at midnight. Hell, even if they trade up, we're still looking in the 11 o'clock hour. So it's going to be a lot of fun. Ira, the reason I was talking about JPP is he was on WFAN radio in New York, and he was talking about how he's pissed. His motivation that he's taking into 2021 is that you guys, you selectors, you select guys across the country, you did not name him an all-pro this year. He thinks he got jobbed. He's pissed off. He's glad he was the only Buccaneers pro bowler, but he's pissed off, Ira. Does he have a case?
Well, somebody better tell JPP that there are only two slots for edge rushers. Two. And, you know, he's not beating out TJ Watt, who I believe led the league in sacks. And, you know, that second spot was up for grabs. There's no question about it. Several strong candidates. Shaq Barrett didn't make it. I don't hear him yakking for JPP. But yeah, you know, the Browns defensive end, who I ended up voting for, I believe he ended up making it, Myles Garrett. And you know, Garrett turned out a big season. Steve, to me, JPP was a little bit up and down. He was a little bit up and down. I think he had about a 1 month stretch where we didn't even notice the guy. Played pretty well in the postseason. But, Steve, there's only two spots. I mean, it's the same argument you got with the Hall of Fame. How can so-and-so not make it? Well, there's only 5 out of 15. And here, there's only two spots. Steve, there might be, 64, starting edge rushers in the NFL, and I got to pick two of them. Sorry, JPP, you didn't make it, my friend.
All right, Ira, I just wanted to clear the air. I'll let JPP know that he didn't deserve it, and that was your opinion. So I'll pass that on. No problem, Ira.
Now, he's still on the contract, and I expect a big 2021 out of Pierre Paul. How do you like that?
Yeah, he said he wants to go at least three more years. He has one more year left on his Bucks contract, so at least three more years for JPP. At least that's what he's saying now. Hard to bet against that guy. And you know, he had a lot to say. He basically said, he thinks they're going to repeat because they have the horses and the Todd Bowles is an amazing coach. And so it's up to the front office now to get the job done. We're going to talk a lot about free agency, Ira, in our next podcast, which is going to be on Tuesday. So we are rolling them out. We're going to really dive into free agency. A lot of layers going on. There's some fresh news. And I'm excited, Ira. You know what? For a Super Bowl team, the Buccaneers have a lot of storylines when it comes to free agency. It's not just, we're going to lose a couple of guys. A lot of layers to this.
There's no question. And they're going to pay a little bit of a price for success, Steve, in terms of some guys. They want to be paid. They're coming off a Super Bowl. They want to be paid. And there's no question about that. But, Steve, maybe the great, the great extra thing about this season is all of a sudden they're a destination site. We'll get into all of it, Steve, in that Tuesday podcast. But like you said, there's a lot of layers. There's some tough decisions, Steve. You think the Bucks are the only team with tough decisions? Try to be the Saints general manager right now. They got 19 potential free agents, including Jameis and Trey Hendrickson. I mean, they got some tough calls to make too. So, and they're not a destination site, not like the Bucks are with Tom Brady. Everybody wants to come down here right now. Everybody.
Yeah.
So we shall see, Steve.
One thing that JPP said was very clear, and he wasn't sort of saying it casually. He said that Brady's back at it, that he's already in working on next season. Now, when players say in, when I hear the word in, I sort of usually mean, or I believe that they're talking about going into the facility to look at film and to sort of get some work in that way. That was the implication from JPP. And I don't know what the rules are with the NFL now with COVID, and now the season's over, and you know, who knows what the rules are. Tom Brady's not a big fan of following rules, but I thought that was pretty cool that JPP said he was already quote unquote in.
You know what that could mean, Steve? This might be a stretch, but knowing Brady, it also might be true. JPP might mean that Brady is already fully engaged in getting this team even better in 2021. And that could mean making a couple of phone calls. Steve, it happens all the time. You know, even though free agency doesn't start for 3 weeks, a couple of phone calls maybe to people that Brady's close to, that he's played with, just maybe to test the waters, report back to Light and Arians, you know, what's the situation? Can we get this guy? Is he vulnerable? Let's do a full court press on him. That could be the meaning of Brady's already in. That means he's already in the business of improving the Buccaneers. And, man, that would be great news for Buck fans, Steve.
Yeah, it's a great point, Ira, because obviously Brady is allowed to talk to prospective free agents. Jason Light can't do it. He can talk to an agent here or there, but Brady can call the guy and start recruiting immediately. There's no rules on that, which makes it even that much more exciting. Sage, your podcast is presented by Bill Curry Ford, BillCurryFord.com. This is where all fans, before they make a deal somewhere else, this is where they got to start shopping, BillCurryFord.com. Our thanks to the official beer of your podcast, Big Storm Beer, Florida's best craft beer. And as we said, first call if there's a problem at your home, Florida's Elite Restoration, FloridasElitereStoration.com. Ira, get some food since your diet didn't start yet. Load up. We're going to be convening tonight with Lee for a more traditional podcast, and which will fire on Tuesday. Very excited. Sage, a final thought?
Steve, you know, I still think about this, how crazy this all is, Steve. A year ago, and I mentioned this in my column, Steve, last week, how everything has changed so much at One Buck Place since March 20th. The announcement with Brady, I mean, it's unbelievable, Steve. I mean, it's not even just as if the Vince Lombardi trophy wasn't enough, Steve. It's like the future, the next 2-3 years, till Brady hangs it up. Or gets a devastating injury, God forbid. It looks very bright, Steve. Very, very bright. And the dark days look like they're behind this franchise. Steve, it's really incredible what's happened here in Tampa.
It really is, Sage. And JPP himself said it. He said it himself. Really hasn't sunk in yet. Just a whirlwind of them exploding to those 8 consecutive wins to close it out. Hard for all of us to believe, not because we're not believers, just because it's so stunning, and it's the Bucks, and it's a good shock to have, Ira. And I got to say thank you. We've had more than 725,000 visits to the website just in February. We're only 3 weeks in, so a lot of people are still riding that high and excited, and it really is a new day in Tampa Bay. See you next time, Sage.